the 19th of January, 2021. From the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, the United States of America on God's good, great planet Earth, thank you for coming to my website to check me out. I'm checking you out. Let's look at this from a philosophical point of view. For those of you that are ex-students of mine in West LA College or Harbor Junior College, or the classroom here on Harcourt, when I taught you these things some 10, 12 years ago, an unexamined life is not worth the living. And when you look out on the horizon and see all these new things happening all around you, you need to examine that. Now, what's the ramifications of that? I used to ask that every day in my philosophy classes. What are the ramifications of you not looking at facts the way they are presented to you right in front of your face? What are the ramifications if you don't take it seriously? Aristotle said of philosophy more than 2,000 years ago, it begins with wonder at the marvels and mysteries of the world. We're living through a mysterious virus. I mean a virus that is attacking us on every level. And we don't seem to be able to maneuver appropriately through this mad maze. Do you love wisdom? Because you have to ask yourself about the wisdom that you're thinking with, the mind that you're thinking with. Is this love of wisdom that we Americans say that we have, is it a wisdom that results from a pursuit of knowledge of the most important parts of reality? If I take the vaccination, my daughters want me to take it, right? I don't care. But I'll take it for their sake. And if it backfires and kills me, I needed to die. Why doesn't that bother me? Because I don't fear death. One of my best friends in life died a week or so ago from COVID-19. And we had the discussion at the dinner table 4 and 5 times. Now, I believe that there's a deeper truth, a better and a new evidence that disturbs the status quo, that forces us to revise and to reject some of the beliefs that we had about life. And this experience can be just as painful as it is exciting. I'm just wondering, are you going to travel with me as I look at this? Now, I believe that there are at least 10 things that you need to do before you decide upon how you're going to live the rest of your life out in America, because your children would not be able to buy a car, to buy a house, to do things the way that you did unless they are highly educated. Now, a bachelor's degree won't do it. The jobs, well, there are hundreds and literally thousands of jobs, but, well, let me give you some tips, because if you can't do these 10 objectives, you're going to get caught later in life missing the important manifestations of advancement for a higher level of human understanding. Now, I'm no dreamer, but I'm going to propose this to you, and I'm no dreamer. Allow the spirit of wonder to flourish in your breast, because when you see all these things shutting down, you've got to, man, I wonder what I'm going to do about this. Secondly, doubt every claim that you encounter until the evidence convinces you of the truth. There's so many lies going around on social media, off of social media. Some of you are happy that Trump is out of there and Biden is in there. You're out of your minds. It's the same scenario that you're going to have to face. Love the truth. That's the third point. Love the truth. And I'm talking about love it, not just seek it, but love it. Fourthly, divide and conquer, because you're going to hear some things that sounds right. Hey, I hear that there's a new strain. It done attacked about 20 states already. It's coming your way next week. Then you got to collect and construct. Get your ideas right. Get the facts right. Collect them and then construct an outline, a didactic outline that can prove to you that you know exactly what is going on here. Number six, conjecture and refute. Now, you know what that means. Let your mind go through this process of re-questioning itself, and then you can refute a claim that they say is irrefutable. Number seven, revise and rebuild. You got to do that now, because in this new world order that we living through here, you've got to revise your religious practices. Evangelical Christianity has failed tremendously because most of its inheritance, instead of loving people, are hating people. That's not God. You want to see a good movie that can remind you of that? Watch Mel Gibson's great piece, Apocalypto. Watch it. Shows how an entire society was torn up by the greed and the ignorance by the people that controlled it. I love the movie. I watched it already. I should watch it again. Number eight, seek simplicity. Oh, now you have to. Because things are so complex, if you don't seek simplicity, you're going to find yourself losing your way. Number nine, live with truth. Live with truth. Now, I know that this is difficult for a lot of people to do. But you got to learn how to live with truth. And tenthly, live the good. Live the good. Don't live the bad, live the good. The good is going to help you. Now, I'm going to have to educate some of you, and those of you that took philosophy with me, you know where I'm coming from, because you have your original notes in front of you. Just go back, because see, y'all are grown now. You've grown 5, 6, 7, 10 years, 12 years since I taught you. You've been coming to my website because the website is still up. Did I lie or did I tell you the truth? Because if I lied, you're not going through this. We have to look at this virus and everything about it in an epistemological, if that's a word. We have to look at it as if we're studying knowledge. Epistemology is a study of knowledge. Nowadays, when you're following in group, people are not studying knowledge that way. No, they don't do it. Thank you. In the background, we're listening to Grover Washington Jr. I've been loving him lately because as I clean up my house and work around here, he just kind of keeps me busy in doing that. I'm going to play another number. That's from an album called A Secret Place, and that was called Not Yet, Grover Washington Jr. Metaphysics, we have to look at, and I'll be playing more music in a little bit. Metaphysics is a study of reality and existence. You have to look at what's happening in a metaphysical way. I propose that you go to the NASA website and look at the Earth from the satellite. See how quiet everything is from up there looking down here. We're in turmoil. But I'm telling you, metaphysically, where is your mind? It's something that we have to give good attention to. All right, the next one is called The Dolphin Dance. I hope you enjoyed this too. Then we must look at the third traditional division of philosophy. The first one is epistemology, the study of knowledge. Secondarily, metaphysics, which is a study of reality and existence, because what's being fed to us through the media is not reality and is going against the existence of your personal person. And the third traditional view of philosophy is ethics. And that bespeaks values and moral principles and conduct in our social institutions. If you live in Los Angeles, my God, the great cities of California, San Francisco, Los Angeles, when you're going up to Portland, Oregon, you're going up to Seattle, Washington, rat holes, I'm telling you. The society on the western coast of the country, some of the most expensive places to live. But if you don't know these things, you will not be able to deal with it. There was an American philosopher, Charles S. Pierce. He was born in 1839, died in 1914. He came up with the idea of abductive reasoning, that is, reasoning to the best explanation. That's what Charles called it. Like inductive reasoning, abductive yields only probable truth. I don't know whether that vaccine is going to cure me from everything that this man-made curse has been put on mankind. I know so many of us have died, not only in America, but all over the world. And there has been worldwide catastrophes hundreds of years before our time. So this is nothing new. Whereas induction establishes general premises or probabilities about future occurrences, abductive provides explanatory hypotheses. And so we want to look for abductive reasoning, something that can explain what's going on. Dr. Fauci and the rest of them right now are not explaining it very well for us at all. It answers the question, why is such and such the case? We haven't heard that. Now, people have been working against these philosophical precepts and things like that for years. And so, where do we find ourselves? Well, we have to start looking at some things that St. Thomas Aquinas, the great Catholic philosopher and theologian, taught us. And let me go into Aquinas' reasoning here. Y'all got your notes open? Because you see, that's why I taught Philosophy 1 like this, because I was trying to teach you something. I was trying to get you ready for what's coming. I couldn't tell you because they would have fired me. And remember, I taught philosophy in college when the philosophy instructor, and I use my texts. I have them all here in my library. I was teaching from the text, but I taught it in such a way as to enlighten you. And now here we are in 2021, 11, 12, 13 to 15 years after I first started to teach this, and we see where we are. We see where we are. We're doing the dolphin dance. Yes, we are. This is what Aquinas was saying, and I want to share this with you. And I think it's important for you to listen. Point number one. Aquinas would say, now, what you're trying to do is you're trying to do abductive reasoning. Is this really happening? He would start off, some things are in motion. That's the first premise. Some things are in motion. We know that this virus is in motion. Second point, nothing in the world can move itself, but must be moved by another. In other words, premise number two, something started this virus. Premise number three, there cannot be an infinite regress of motions. That's premise number three. In other words, you're not going to get things just developing like this unless something happens. So therefore, point number four, there must first be a mover who is responsible for all other motion. Somebody started this virus. I don't know who started it. You may not know who started it, but some human did. Fifthly, this first mover that moves everything that ever started moving in the whole universe is what we call, because we're from the Western way of thinking, is what we call God. God allowed it. God didn't stop it. Therefore, God exists. That's the conclusion of the second part of the argument of premise four and five. God exists. God is still here, even in the light, even in spite of this misery that we are going through. Does God exist in reality? Can the existence of God be demonstrated or made probable by any argument, because there's a lot of people saying, oh, man, this is the last days and there is no God and God really, because look what happened to the church. No, the church came into a book-selling thing. That became a financial market. That became a place where you could, sell your wares, sell your doctrine. And you know what I find strikingly amusing? That a lot of church leaders, pastors, are being killed by this virus. And a lot of people contacted me when I send them recent pictures of me. They say, John, you look, how are you doing? You're in the hub center of all of this stuff. You're in Los Angeles. How are you? I'm fine. I'm doing real good. Why? Why shouldn't I? I don't know why I should. See, now the debate's going to go back and forth with two individuals in ancient history about the existence of God. Protagoras, around 450 years before Christ was born, and Plato, 427 years before Christ was born. These two cats were born. And they raise the question, does God exist? And we have to look at it in inductive arguments because most of our reasoning is inductive. Okay? Most generalizations are based upon inductive reasoning. But now the second question comes up, which I think is very important. Can we trust human reasoning? See, I like the way Paul puts it in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 16:22. He says, if anyone says that one true God, our Creator and Lord, cannot be known with certainty with the natural light of human reason by means of the things that have been made, let him be anathema, accursed. But others have denied that one can come to fully know that there is a God through human reason. Theists and non-theists alike have been arguing that for centuries. I yet believe, a man called me this morning and he was speaking to me and he said, John, you know why I love you, man? I asked him, why? And he said, because what you said 20, 25 years ago is coming to pass right now and you still believe it just as firm as you did the day you taught it to me when I sat in your classroom. And he said, that is a problem with churchmen today. They never believe the writ. No, they didn't believe it. Why would you expect them to? Now I'm going to get into a teaching right now, and I'm going to fade the music on this because I want to really reach you where you need to be reached. I've taught this before on my website, but now is the time to bring it. I got to let you listen. That's why I'm calling this praxis. Because if you are practicing praxis, you will not think that this is very important. There are two ways that you can know that there is a God. The first way that you can know that there's a God, philosophically, is through the a posteriori method. Okay? Experience is the key to know. This argument is based upon premises that can be known only by means of experience of the world. In other words, you know that a switch would hurt you if it strikes your body, but you can only really know that in reality if you are hit by the switch. And a posteriori proposition can be known to be true or false only by reference of how, as a matter of contingent fact, the contingent fact that you were hit by the stick, the switch, the broom, the belt, that things have been, that things which were, and things will be. If you're hit by the switch, it will hurt you tomorrow, even in the case of tomorrow not getting here. This is based upon necessary contingent truth. It is that which after something, and then you come the posteriori, is the latter. After coming from a sense experience, you know that to be true. And then the other way to know that there is a God is not a posteriori, but a priori. In other words, you cannot depend upon your human experience in order to know. That's the way I've come to know that there's a God. It had nothing to do with my human experience. It had nothing to do with me going to church. That's why I told you when this plague first broke out, stop going to church, stop meeting with people, stop listening to a man of God that would tell you it's going to be all right. Come to church. The government's trying to take away your way of worship. The government can't stop you from worshiping God. They've never stopped me from worshiping Jehovah. I've been worshiping him ever since I've known him in August of 1967. What's the matter with you? I worship the same God without having a human experience. This argument depends upon no such premises. Rather, it rests on the premise that it can be known to be true independent of experience of the world. This is prior to and independent of your senses. What do I have on my website? I am an independent thinker with good reason. Now, my thoughts come from my brain working properly through me eating the right kind of foods, getting enough water, oxygen in my brain and in my lungs, and my body is healthy. That's why I've told you for years, stop eating fast foods. Start growing some vegetables in the backyard. This would be a knowledge that comes from outside of the world. Basically, its source is out of this world. How do I know that God exists? Because God, man, me and this preacher was talking about it today. He said, you taught us in the classroom that God called you out of this darkness into his marvelous light, and you hadn't even gone to church. Right. I wasn't going to no church because you don't get it by going to church. You don't get it by joining a religious organization. You don't find this joy and this peace that I have in my heart. And I got to say this. I love my babies. I love Delia and Leslie. I love them. I love their offspring. I love their friends and everything. But if they don't have what I have, God help them. Because this is an individual thing. It could be a knowledge that is best known to be stated as true, but at the same time, it is not tangible truth. My knowledge of God in my life is not tangible truth to you because you have to come to know God in your own life on your own. In other words, I would define a priori as an after experience. Most truths can only be known a posteriori, after the fact. Well, no, that's not true. Now, let me go back to that other philosopher because I did it in Philosophy 1, and I'm taking time and I'm talking to you like a professor here because I want you people to get this. Because we're getting ready to inaugurate the, number 46th president of the United States tomorrow, and we may not get there, people. I don't know. I hope we get there. But I don't know what's going to happen in Washington, D.C. and other state capitals. There was a Catholic man since the new president's going to be Catholic. Does that mess with you? Well, I'm glad he has some kind of belief in the divine. I would rather have a man like that in there than a man that would carry a Bible and walk and stand in front of a church when he comes from hiding in his bunker than a man that would incite a riot from the people that are his base. And I have nothing against Donald Trump. I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote against him. I didn't vote for Biden. I told you I don't vote. I don't participate in a fool's game. But if that makes you feel like a better person, go ahead. Now, I'm going to quote from a man that was a Catholic. And he was born in the year 1224. And he died in 1274. So he was about 50 years old. He was a Dominican priest. He was a theologian and a philosopher. They used to call him Dr. Angelicus. In other words, the angelic doctor. Aquinas is considered one of the greatest Christian philosophers to have ever lived. Two of the most famous works that he ever did was a... excuse me. Should have my water available here. See, I'm getting older, people, and I've been talking all my life. Two of the works, the Summa Theologiae and the Summa Congrua Gentilis, the finest examples of his works and Christian philosophy. But let's get into what he did, how you can know certain things. He had these five ways that you can know that there is a God moving. And I've already gone over the first part about the mover. When studying the works of the Greek philosophers Aristotle, Aquinas concluded that from common observation that an object that is in motion, and I'm just going to say this virus, is put in motion by some other object or force. From this, Aquinas believes that ultimately there must have been an unmoved mover who first put things in motion. Why? Because Aquinas would say that nothing can move itself, right? This virus didn't get started by itself. Secondly, that every object in motion had a mover, then the first object in motion needed a mover. This first object in motion is the unmoved mover called God. God created the people or the people that put this virus in motion. All right? Now, in the next way is the contingent and necessary objects that Aquinas talks about. This way defines two types of objects in the universe, contingent beings and necessary beings. Listen to me. I'm trying to teach you something. A contingent being is an object that cannot exist without a necessary being causing its existence. Something caused this virus to exist. A contingent being would be your parent. You could not exist unless you had a mother and a father. I'm sorry, you were not hatched. You just didn't fly down here. And so this virus took place because of a contingent thing. I want you to think with me through this and stop being adolescent in your mind. Those of you that took this class with me, break out your notes. I told you not to throw them out. I told you that there's going to come a time in this country when you're going to have to look at this, and it's going to give you the way to define what in the hell is going on in your life. So Aquinas believed that the existence of contingent beings would ultimately necessitate a being which must exist for all of the contingent beings to exist. This being, called a necessary being, is what we call God. If the Chinese created this virus, if the Europeans created the virus, if the Americans created the virus, who created them? God did. God is what we call the necessary being that started everything else in the domino effect. So, contingent beings are caused. Not every being can be contingent. There must exist a being which is necessary to cause contingent beings. This contingent being is what or who we call God. Now, if you want to analyze and break down the formula for this virus, because it keeps morphing into some other things that we've never seen before, so we have to look at this morphing process here. And I'm gonna stop at this a little more than 30 minutes because I know that you can't listen to me for more than that without going stir crazy, and I'll continue this lecture. But Aquinas said about his fourth argument is from degrees of perfection. St. Thomas formulated this way from a very interesting observation about the qualities of a thing. Because certain people are getting this virus and they're recovering from it and it's not killing them. And certain people are getting this virus and it's killing them right off. See, and this is what they can put together in the laboratory. And I want you to be a free thinker now. This is how they get rid of who they want to get rid of. because we're looking at the degrees from degrees and perfection, the observation of the quality of things. For example, one may say that two marble sculptures, one is more beautiful than the other. Now we're talking about eugenics. Margaret Sanger, all right? We're talking about the abortion clinics. We're talking about certain people shouldn't be allowed to have babies because they are beneath what human existence is all about. It's a way that many people thought about other people's for years. Theologues and thinkers have thought about this. One has a greater degree of beauty than the next. This is referred to as the degrees or gradation of a quality. This is all philosophical genre. From this fact, Aquinas concluded that for any given quality, or that is the goodness of something, the beauty of something, or the knowledge of something, that there must be a perfect standard by which all such qualities are measured. And these perfections are contained in God, and therefore the persons that come up with these things use this God matrix to formulate their existence.